So the Humane AI Pin reviews are here, and they're pretty shockingly bad, I think, is the general consensus. I don't even know.
I thought they were going to be bad, but they're even worse than I thought they were going to be. Yeah.
Where do you want to start with this? Because there's the first aspect of it is from a hardware perspective, all of the reviews seem to agree that this little thing that you clip to your shirt, engineering wise, is quite impressive. It's a very good demo. But once you go beyond that into practicality and actually using it in a day-to-day basis, it falls down pretty quickly.
Yeah, there's kind of like two buckets, right? There's the issues of, is a pin a compelling form factor to do computing through? And is the Humane pin itself any good in terms of the features that they've implemented and what it offers? And it's also expensive, right? Like, I don't really understand why the pin has to cost $700. Like, it has a $24 a month contract, but at least with the contract, you're getting, you know, data access, access to the AI models, and, you know, those kind of subscriptions normally like $20 a month anyway. So the subscription, although it's high, I do kind of understand why it's there. The Rabbit R1 is the obvious counterpart to the Humane pin that's also coming out soon. And their pitch is it's only $200 purchase and no subscription. But that makes me question, like, how they're even going to survive, because, you know, the server costs of running these things are really high. So the future of the Rabbit R1 seems wonky to me. Like, I don't understand how they can sustain a $200 flat fee. The Humane pin is $24 a month subscription, which obviously pays for the services, the cloud storage, and you get the T-Mobile data contract with a phone number. But you also have to pay $700 to buy the pin in the first place. $700 is really expensive for something that's just like a touchpad and a speaker. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's nothing to it. It's like an Apple Watch without a screen. Like,
there's the projector.
And the Apple Watches start at, what, like $400?
Yeah.
$350? Like, I don't understand why it's a $700 device. Yes, it's nicely made with, you know, nice materials and metal and aluminium and stuff. And like, but what is it? It's just like a cell. It's just like a small phone without a screen. And like, screen's one of the biggest expensive of phones. So I don't understand why this thing costs just $700. Even if it was cheaper, though, you're probably still going to be facing an uphill battle in terms of whether people want it. Like,
it could be $400, but I don't want to buy it just because, at least according to the reviews, it flat out doesn't work for most things.
Yeah, or it's really slow. Yeah. Right? Like, the thing is, like, what was funny to me about reading all the reviews, and a lot of them obviously have video reviews now, and they show it in action, right? And they would ask it questions and it wouldn't know what to do. But like, the questions it were asking were not like complicated things. They were just like simple tasks that Siri from 2011 can answer, you know? It's like they haven't implemented timers, right? And think about how much flack the HomePod got when it came out for not supporting multiple timers, right?
Yep.
Like, it was lambasted for it. It could do one timer, but it couldn't do multiple. And then, event, you know, 8 months later, or a year later, they added multiple timers. But at launch, it didn't support it. People are like, you're paying $399 for the HomePod, and it can't even do two timers at one time. You know, so stupid. When Amazon Alexa and whatever else have been doing it for 5 years now, this, it can't even do one timer at launch. Like, let alone multiple. It can't do a single timer. It's like the most obvious thing. Like, what do people use their assistants to do? They ask them to send messages, set timers, and check the weather, right? And so of those pinnacle, that's my, you know, 90% usage of a voice assistant is those three things, and maybe play music. And it can't do timers at all, which seems like a huge miss for the launch release. Even a basic timer system would have helped these reviews tremendously. But that's just one element, right? There's so many different things that it can't really do for you. The other thing that's kind of cool, you think about, oh, you can carry a mobile pin around with you. You know, when you're out and about, you could like get directions to places. Nope, doesn't support directions. That's another area where it doesn't support it at all. Some of these things might come in time, but they didn't help themselves, right?
No.
By having so much unimplemented functionality in the release version. And there's not even like a beta for some of these features. Like, I think they said that times are coming in the summer, but you know, you're shipping in April and it's not there.
In addition to voice,
so many of the things that the Humane pin just refused to do on these video reviews, for the fun of it, I'd ask my watch and it would do all of them. Like, you know, play this specific song by Beyonce, played it perfectly fine. Play the latest the newest song by this band called Lawrence, which I've never heard of, but they asked the pin to do and it didn't know. Asked the Apple Watch and it brought up the exact song from Apple Music. You know, ask it the weather, here's the weather, do directions, set timers, do the timers. Like, even half of the trivia questions where the Humane Pin should be doing really well because it's backed by, like, ChatGPT or whatever else, you know, the OpenAI models. Siri's got a lot better at random trivia. It's not perfect, but a lot of the things people just immediately went to asking this thing for the demo, Siri could already do. So, like, where is the benefit? And it would do all of those things way faster, because that's the other problem with the Pin is it's really, really slow to do anything. I don't know if it's because it's got, like, weak service to the cell towers. It's only got small antennas inside there. You can connect it to Wi-Fi, but people aren't going to do that because it's a pain. So maybe it's just, like, a function of cell service, or there's a more of a significant server problem. Because I tweeted about this a bit the weekend, and people are like, well, this is just clearly showing that, you know, you don't want to use an LLM for voice assistants because they're slow. I'm like, no, that's not really true. You go to openai.com, the ChatGPT web interface, you ask it a question, it'll respond very, very quickly, about the same response speed as like Siri does, right? And you can ask ChatGPT on the web very complicated questions and get very detailed answers very quickly. So it's not a function of, oh, it's just backed by an LLM, that's why it's slow. There's some weirdness in there.
We are sponsored this week by Collide. You've probably heard me talk about Collide before, but have you heard that Collide was just acquired by 1Password? That's pretty big news, since these two companies are leading the industry in creating security solutions that put users first. For over a year, Collide Device Trust has helped companies with Okta ensure that only known and secure devices can access their data. And that's what they're still doing, but now as part of 1Password. So if you've got Okta and you've been meaning to check out Collide, now is a great time to do that. Check it out at collide.com/9to5MacDaily. That's KOLIDE.com/9to5MacDaily. My thanks to Collide for their support of the show.
And so I don't think they've done a very good job with this 1.0 release. The other thing is people complain it gets warm and hot to the touch. The battery life sucks. So I don't really see how you could not review this poorly. There were some people I saw try and draw comparisons to the Vision Pro. Like, you know, people are lambasting the Humane Pin, but the Vision Pro also sucks. And why did that get much better reviews? I think it's very different in the sense that everything that Apple said the Vision Pro can do, it does, right? And there's at least some category of stuff where it does it better than anything else, like watching movies.
Mm-hmm.
Is the product recommendable? At $3,500? Of course not. And we've talked about this at length before. But it's not like they presented this vision of something and then what they shipped just couldn't do it and it would like die after 10 minutes. Like, that's just like Apple shipped a very solid device and it's up to you whether it's worth the price. And over time, they'll keep making it better and better. The Pin promised so much and the marketing around it was so arrogant leading up to it. It really had to deliver and it fell flat.
There were a couple of things during the reviews that stood out to me. In one case was MKBHD talking about one use case that he had that he found actually useful, which was he was driving to the studio and had an idea for a video. So he pressed down on the Pin and said, write down this idea that I had for this video outro. And I got to thinking of, yes, that's cool. And his argument was he wasn't going to pull out his phone and write down that idea while he was driving. He still had to reach up and touch the Pin. He could have just used Siri or Google Assistant or whatever to do the same thing. You can tell Siri to remember something and it'll do it.
And make a note. Yeah.
That wasn't a very compelling use case. Then in The Verge's review, David Pierce, because one of the features of the Pin is it has the camera facing outwards and you can say, what am I looking at right now? So he's walking through New York and he looks at a bridge and he says, what bridge am I looking at right now? And the Pin confidently says, that's the Brooklyn Bridge. And he's from New Yorker. He's familiar with New York. And he goes, no, it's not. That's the Triborough Bridge or whatever it was.
Mm.
And he had the knowledge to know that it had hallucinated or gotten that completely wrong. But if it were me and I said, what bridge is that? And it told me, I'd just be walking around for the rest of the day like a moron saying, hey, I saw the Brooklyn Bridge. I didn't see the Brooklyn Bridge. The Pin told me the wrong thing. That is like, that underscores both the problem with maybe the hardware and the camera, but also the problem with the reliance on AI and large language models in general. Just you can't easily fact check what it tells you. And they're known to hallucinate or tell you things that are very obviously wrong if you know the answer, but it'll act so confident.
You know,
confident.
When I use ChatGPT on the desktop, right?
Mm-hmm.
I ask it something, I get it to do something for me, it gives me an answer. If you know, if it's something where I need to validate the accuracy of it, I'll just like do a couple of backup Google searches, right, to just like confirm what it told me is accurate. On a pin that has no screen, you can't do it. So like this whole marketing of like, because they were trying to push this, you don't need a phone. You know, this is a completely independent device. It has its own phone number. It can do its own calling. It has its own data plan. You don't need to carry your phone around. It was just never going to be practical because you can't trust a thing without a screen. Like the projector's a joke, right? Like it's not a replacement for a touchscreen. You can't trust an LLM to get everything right. So you have to have a screen. And any product that doesn't have a screen is like a non-starter. It's these days. Yeah. And a touchscreen just has so much functionality and so much stuff can be surfaced and shown to you. If you don't have that, like you're really, really limited. It's like an Apple Watch without a screen. Like
to me, these reviews have kind of just shown that the Apple Watch is a really great product and it has the potential to get so much better once they integrate.
I mean, just look at the pin's physical design, right?
Yeah.
It's like a rounded rectangle pebble. It's literally like if you draw a line down it, the watch strap, it's literally an Apple Watch shape, you know? Like, except you clip it on your coat, which is then awkward because if you take off your coat when you go inside, you then got to unclip it and clip it on somewhere else. Yeah. Like the watch, you can just always be on your wrist. And there are some people who don't like watches, fair enough, but the watch has a lot of utility. And also, in addition to getting a screen form factor, you also get heart rate, you know, step tracking, like all of this extra stuff comes along with it that the pin form factor is never going to be able to offer you. So, yeah, like that's the thing. The pin has come out the gate with bad reviews because they missed out a lot of functionality, it overheated. It's just unreliable. But even just the form factor of a pin, not necessarily the humane one, but anyone, I don't think would get particularly positive response because I don't see the benefit over a watch. I just think the smartwatch is a great form factor. And I do not think humane fumbled the bag so much by trying to approach this as this can replace your phone. And they did try and backpedal it in the last like month or so. And like, oh, it can just be a companion to phone. But the whole design of the product is this is replacing your phone. That's why it has a completely separate phone number, completely separate contact list, completely separate photos, you know, integration. They don't have an iOS or Android app, right? Like if they'd have come to this with this is more of an accessory to your phone, it might have been a more positive venture, or at least has a more opportunity to succeed, because it could then have also offloaded so much of the work to the phone that they can rely on being in your pocket and increase battery life and not have to maybe even have a cell reception, right? Like, what if they only just communicated via Bluetooth to the phone and just relayed all the requests that way? Like, you could have a little pin that has lasts all day rather than one that has to be like swapped out three times with the battery booster thing, and then maybe even still dies before the end of the day. So
where do they go from here? Because if they want to increase their reliance on the phone and continue their backpedaling and say, oh, it's just a companion to your smartphone, A, that defeats all of their marketing, all of this hubris they've had during the years long of building up the hype around this product and not telling anybody what it was until, last year, I think we finally saw like a demo of what it was supposed to do. Do they have a roadmap to where they can pivot and say, okay, version one sucked, but we've learned enough from version one to make version two more compelling? And are they willing to put aside their, I don't know how to describe it, but the company is very pretentious. I don't know if that's the right word. They have very clear ideas of what they want the future to be and how they think the future should work. They think smartphones are bad. Are they going to sacrifice that vision to make the AI Pen 2 better? I don't know if they will. I don't know where they go from here, short of getting acquired by somebody, maybe.
They've just had, like, I don't think the design of this product would be what it was if they hadn't just left Apple, right? Like, part of this is like a political, like, we hate Apple and everything we made at Apple. Apple's bad, so we're going to do this completely different thing that has nothing to do with any Apple product at all. Here you go. And they've just compromised their own product marketing for it. Like, kind of sucks that in the modern era, you kind of need to have good integration with iPhone and Android to succeed, but you can't just uproot that entire model overnight just because you're a small startup, right? And like do something different. You have to be within the market that's there. And I think they could have got way further with a pin that was designed with the smart, like the idea being you have a smartphone in your pocket, but you can have a pin for quicker access throughout the day, which is exactly what the watch is, right? Like,
yeah,
you can leave your watch at home sometimes if you want to, but most of the time the watch is designed to have the phone in the pocket. And then you could get in, you'd eventually get to problems of, or constraints of the ecosystem where some features aren't available to third-party pins that Apple wouldn't have make available to the watch, right? You know, we've had that discussion before with all the EU antitrust stuff and the US DOJ complaint mentioned a lot of that. But you can go way further than nothing at all. Way further. And if they'd partnered on Android, they could have even done the thing where the pin has the same phone number as the actual phone, right? Because right now it's like you send a text message, you've got to send the text message to the pin's phone number, not your phone number. There's so many obstacles that this thing is never going to cross. And even if you did get all those obstacles, I'm still not sure they can justify the general form factor of a screenless badge that you clip on your clothing. So it's got a really big problem. Some of their technology might be able to have value in terms of the way they integrate with LLMs and stuff. So maybe they'll get bought out or something like that. Or maybe they pivot entirely and like make app, you know, that's the other thing. Like so many of these features, you could just ship as an application.
Yeah.
You don't really need a separate hardware product at all. So I'm sure the company can go through some pivots and changes, but what they shipped right now does not seem particularly compelling, unfortunately.
One thing in the Verge's review was they gave it a four out of 10. That seemed high to me. So I went and I found the page on their website where they explain what their numerical ratings mean. A four is apparently mediocre, and they say it has multiple outstanding issues. A three is bad, not something we'd recommend. A two is a product that should be avoided at all costs, and one is utter garbage and an embarrassment. Based on at least my reading of The Verge's review and everybody else's reviews, four seems a little bit generous here. If you're saying three is the threshold for something they don't recommend, I think you got to give it a three or maybe even a two.
There's some sentiment of like rooting for the underdog there.
The underdog like, that's raised $230 million in funding. It's not.
Yeah, but when you're comparing it to the trillion-dollar tech giants, like.
Yeah.
Like, I'd love smaller companies to be successful, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I think it'd be great. This hasn't achieved it. And I don't really think there's much point, like, oh, should it be a four or a three or whatever? Because no one's going to buy it.
That's the thing, yeah.
I'm not short of it. I'm sorry about that, but that is the unfortunate reality. And just wait a few more months and Android and Apple are going to have so many AI announcements. We're going to be flooded with that stuff. It's going to make the utility of another product that's like AI-centric even less relevant. Like, there's such a barrier to getting people to carry anything that isn't a phone. Like, even the Apple Watch, as good as and useful as it is, the attachment rate is like 20%, I think. Like, 20% of people that have iPhones have Apple Watches. It might be less than that.
Yeah.
Like, Apple can't convince 8 out of 10 of the iPhone customers to buy an Apple Watch. That's Apple, right? Like, with all the advantages and all the homegrown ecosystem and built-in, you know, stuff and anti-competitive pressure, whatever you want to say, they can only convince, like, a fraction of their, you know, potential audience to buy into carrying a separate watch around.
And getting it's $300.
Also cheaper. So getting them to carry like anything in addition, because that's the thing, right? Let's say the pin was perfect and it was great and it was getting a 7 or 8 out of 10 on the rating because it did everything it did, it had some value. You're still going to want to wear a watch as well because you want to be able to see your notifications or track your heart rate or do a workout and see the metrics on the screen. Like, so then you're expecting people to have a phone in their pocket, a watch in their wrist, and a pin attached to some item of clothing. Like, it's just not going to happen. And headphones as well, right? Like,
yeah.
So I the form factor is problematic. The fact that it overheats is ridiculous. The fact that they didn't introduce many features at launch is also bad. But even if all those things were addressed, I think they've got a huge blocker just in the form factor alone.